I really liked the instrument that I have been playing. It's interesting that, you know, the moment somebody stopped forcing you to play it, you start to like it.
That doesn't happen all the time.
It doesn't.
I think you meant to play it. That's why that happened.
Well, yeah. I don't know. but then I came to Carleton for college, and part of the reason why I chose Carleton was because Gao Hong is here. She's the director of the Chinese Music Ensemble, and we have an awesome Chinese music program in here. So I started pick it up again, and it was one of the most correct choices I've made in my life so far.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
I'm amazed at how good you are if you stop taking lessons and stop playing for a while. Did it all come rushing back when you started playing again?
It takes a lot of practice.
Yeah, okay.
But I think what I grew over time and what I gained over time, like from my experience, is the understanding of the music. And also, since I grew up, I'm stronger with my fingers, and I can play like more versatile sounds. So I feel really lucky that I picked it up again. Yeah.
And who do you take lessons from at Carleton?
Oh, Gao.
It is Gao.
Yeah, she teaches everything.
All the instruments. Wow.
Yeah.
She's amazing. Yeah, I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, she is.
All right. Thanks, Helen. That was awesome.
Thank
you. Nice wrap up of your musical journey. And now, Silas, how about you?
Yeah, my music journey is very simple. So I started playing actual piano first when I was 3. Actually,
wow.
3 and 10 months. And I practiced like really hard back then. Because my parents, and like probably 3 hours a day, and
wow.
That's when I think I have a perfect pitch. I think the piano helped really a lot. And then I just randomly heard Erhu, and I thought this is such a beautiful instrument.
How
and
old were you?
I was 6.
Okay. Oh like, my.
Yeah, and I want to play it. And then at that time, I just played Erhu and piano together. And then I just sort of stopped playing piano and switched to Erhu. Yeah, I take a lesson, luckily, from like a professor in Central Conservatory. This was really lucky. And then, I just continue played Erhu for like my middle school and high school, and I was in the Chinese ensemble in my high school as well.
Okay.
And luckily I came here at Carleton and met Gao, and I'm a member of Carleton ensemble right now.
If you didn't pick Carleton because of Gao, what drew you to I'm sorry, people. that's like a sin in this town, I think, sometimes. At Carleton, what brought you to Carleton?
I think firstly, actually, Carleton is the only like liberal arts college that has a Chinese ensemble.
Really?
So I know Carleton because of the Chinese ensemble.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and then I noticed this school and I found that this like liberal arts education is exactly what I want.
Nice.
I just came here and it's a very good journey.
So when you were young and you were taking lessons for piano, and then you at about 6 you started playing the Erhu.
Yeah.
And then did you continue with 3 hours a day?
Nah. Because firstly, my parents are not forcing me to do that.
Got
like,
it.
After I go to the elementary school. I just don't have enough time
because sure.
I need to focus on the study.
Exactly.
But like at first, this was really hard because this is a string instrument. So like you know, as you all know, like the beginner of the string instrument can be a torture for the neighbor. when you play it badly, it's just like you create this like squeaky sound.
Right.
It's
right.
like. Although we have like those like walls that block the sound, sometimes the sound still goes out, and like
right.
it's really like like the sound that you would use your nail to like scratch a glass.
Right.
So terrible.
Well, it's not just neighbors, it's parents and siblings as well that have to get through that beginning stage with you where it just doesn't sound very good.
I'm so grateful for them.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
How long did it take you to get beyond that scratching sound stage?
Didn't you practice like using a teapot or something?
Yeah. To prevent that. So, you know, the gesture and all the position is kind of fixed. So my parents just suggest me to use like, they can use like a teapot underneath a branch of a tree to simulate an erhu. And I just played that without
a
string.
So they made a fake erhu for you.
Basically an erhu without string. And I just practiced how to like pull and push the string. I mean the bowl.
That is so smart. That's like my husband when he gives drum lessons to the really young kids when he used to do that. It was like you go home and you practice on pillows. You only practice on pillows until you get to a certain level. And then... Yeah. Particularly if they're really young because they just want to hit things, right?
Oh. Yes.
Really smart parents there, Silas.
Oh, my God. It was so boring for me, though. But it's good for all my people around me.
So did you have any experiences playing in high school? Any performances that were special to you?
I'm actually... kind of the first erhu in the Chinese ensemble in my high school. And it was like the 110 years of anniversary of our high school.
Oh, wow.
And we performed on that like stage.
And you were the only person in that whole group playing.
No, but I play like the solo. And
your first chair. I get it.
Yes,
now. Got it.
It was very nervous. Yeah, that's the only thing that I can remember.
How'd it go?
It actually goes really well, but good. It's just the nervousness I remember.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. How about you, Helen? What did you do in high school? Where did you go to high school in the States?
I went to New York for high school.
Okay, and so, were there other Gujang players there?
There were a few, but not
really?
Many. Oh. Yeah, and I think in New York, you can find places in like Chinatown or Flushing with teachers who can teach you. So there were a couple. At first, I didn't have my instrument with me.
Right.
I think around my last year of high school, my parents managed to carry it all the way from China.
Wow.
For me. So I got to like play it, I think in my English class or something. That was fun. Yeah, I got to like teach my classmates how to play it. So guzheng, unlike erhu or any other string instruments, it's fairly easy to just like play out the sounds. It's kind of like piano. Once you know where the keys are, you can sort of play something that doesn't sound terrible. So it was a lot of fun for like my classmates. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you didn't, your neighbors and family didn't have to go through that beginning stage of painful ears listening to somebody try to pick up their instruments or learn it.
Well,
maybe that too.
Now that I look back, I think I still sounded terrible.
Sure.
But like my parents and like my teachers, they're all very encouraging. They made me feel good. Okay. But like now that I look back at my recordings,
yeah,
I could have done better.
Of course. You were just learning. Of course. You had to have somewhere to go with your talent. I want to have a little tutorial from each of you on how you play the instrument. First of all, Helen mentioned how difficult it was to get the instrument here. It's bigger than you are, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Tall. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's very, very big.
It's like 6 feet tall or how? If you put it on its end, because you play it lying down.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You're
yeah.
not lying down. The instrument's lying down.
Well, yeah, yeah.
but how tall? What are the dimensions?
I can't tell exactly. I think it's around like 6 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. 6 inches.
6 feet by maybe 2 feet.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, something like
something
that.
Something like that. Yeah, big.
Yeah, it's big. It's like a horizontal harp. So it's a plucked string instrument. It has 21 strings. And you basically just pluck it to make the sounds. each string has their own note, and it's a it's on pentatonic scale. So,
and what does that mean, pentatonic
scale? We have five notes for one octave.
Got it.
On the keyboard, like the piano, you have, I believe, 12 keys. Mm-hmm. But on the guzheng, you only have five. Going from like do, re, mi, so, la. So we don't have fa and ti.
Got it.
To make those sounds, you need to bend the strings. So like you usually would play with our right hand and bend the strings using our left hand. Mm-hmm. And also the way you bend the strings and like the strength, the speed, like how you bend it, how much you bend it, it makes a large variety of sounds.
It really does. I think sometimes it sounds like really like a guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And then sometimes like a harp.
Yeah.
And then sometimes like instruments that you've never heard before, right?
Right.
And so you can pluck it, and you can do the, I don't even know what you call it on a when you go ring, you know?
Yeah, like kind of like glissandos. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
And what's the difference when you're just beginning? What do you concentrate on first?
I think when you begin to play it, you concentrate on just finding the right strings.
Sure.
And like playing the right notes. And when you are progressing, you may start to play like more difficult pieces where you use, for example, like both of your hands for playing, like plucking the strings. You also start to play like faster pieces.
Sure.
And that's challenging when you have to play a lot of notes in one beat.
Well, and you have picks kind of attached to your fingers.
The fake nails.
The fake nails, right. Are they on all five fingers on your right hand?
They are on four fingers.
Okay.
Except for the last finger. So they are on four fingers on both hands.
On both hands.
Yeah.
So how do you push down on the string?
You just manage to push it with your finger, like the part of finger that's not attached, if that makes sense.
That's not attached.
Like
to the
your
nail.
Fingertips.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but not
but
the
you'd
nails.
Think those nails would get in the way. And so do you pick with both hands then, if you have the nails on your left hand?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
You do, yeah.
So it can be really, really complicated, the music.
It can be the interplay
of the two hands.
Yeah, it can be sort of complicated. Yeah. If you think about piano, it's like it's similar. You use your both hands.
Yeah, you do. In very complicated ways sometimes. Really,
yeah, yeah,
on the
sometimes.
Technical stuff,
yeah,
right.
So like that part, the technical part might be challenging. But when you get to even a higher level or when you get older, I guess, you start to have like more understanding of the music. And you start to learn about the different like areas of China. Each area of China have their own style of music, their own style of playing the guzheng.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
And it varies so much. I actually like learned about it after I came to Carleton. Gao taught it to me. So, so like different areas have like different like when I talk about like bending the strings, they have different bending techniques. They just have like vastly different way of playing. So you start to learn about their musical styles and you start to incorporate that into your own interpretation of the music. And that is the most like joyful, but also the most challenging part, I guess.
I suppose. Yeah. I guess that's, although it's not regional, maybe in the United States, let's go back to guitar or even piano, you know, for different genres of music, you play your piano completely different. Completely different.
Yeah.
And to learn a new style is a challenge, I think,
definitely.
On any instrument, right?
Yeah, and China has such a long history, too. So you can imagine how...
Right,
yeah,
right. Thousands of years
yeah.
of... how old is the instrument?
The instrument is more than 2,500 years.
Wow. That's incredible. That's got quite a history.
Yeah.
Wendy, if you want to cue up the Helen's solo song. You ready? Okay, so people, we're going to hear just an excerpt of a concert or a recital that Helen did and she sent me this song called A Song from Home, and it's an excerpt from that, and this is her solo. Here it is. Congratulations. Great. Exactly. That's incredible. So what were the challenges and joys with this piece?
I think it's understanding the music. So it's actually a pretty sad piece. It's about like being away from home and like missing home, missing your family. So I have a good story for you.
Okay, good.
When I first played this piece, I was actually assigned this piece by my teacher. And I was in elementary school, and
wow.
I knew nothing about being away from home.
Oh,
like
right.
I had no idea what this song was about. And when I was performing it, somehow people thought that, okay, you're only a child. Like you have no worries in childhood, right? So you have to be cheerful and joyful and like happy. So there was one day when I was in college, I was browsing through my old childhood videos. And I saw this video of me like playing this sad piece with a big smile on my face. And I thought this was terrible. Like, like I thought like, although I could play the piece, like technically I didn't understand the music. So I just like forwarded this video to Gao. I was like, I have to play it. The next term I have to like remake this.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's and at that time actually COVID happened. And I was stuck in the US because of the difficulty of traveling. So I haven't been home for like 3 years now.
Oh wow. So you really feel this song, right?
Yeah, I really feel it now.
You totally get a pass for smiling when you're a child, when you're playing an instrument. It doesn't matter what song you're playing, because it's the joy of playing.
Yeah.
Well, really, really well done. And thank you for that tutorial on the Guzheng.
Thank you.
Chinese zither, it's also called. Just beautifully done. And I can't believe that you could play that piece as a child, too. Aww. That's pretty amazing. So, Silas, we're going to turn to you. Okay. And we're going to get a tutorial here. And I think you're going to, he has his arhu pulled out. So he's going to actually give us a little lesson, I think. Awesome. Whoa. Cool. Yeah. All right, there it is.
Okay, yeah. So arhu is like a string instrument in traditional Chinese string instrument, and it's actually the most popular traditional string Chinese instrument.
Got it.
Yeah. And it consists of like two strings instead of like violin four. Sometimes it's referred as like the Chinese violin.
Yes, yes. And it kind of sounds like a violin a little bit.
Yes.
But there's two strings, all right.
Yeah, it has two strings. However, it's actually kind of different because for violin, you have this fingerboard. So right. It means that you cannot push the string as much as you want. So for arhu, there's like no fingerboard beneath the string. So you can like make a lot of special sound effects like that.
But how if you don't have the fingerboard, which is where the people, when you're playing a violin, you look at a violin or a guitar, that's where people have their left hand, usually if they're right-handed, where they push to get the note, to sound a note, a certain note. How do you get a certain note if you don't have a fingerboard?
Exactly. So this is why like finding the right pitch in arhu is very hard. So if you want to like do a right pitch, in order to do that, you have to like put your finger on the right spot and use the exact right force to do
wow.
it. It's just very hard to. That's why it's a disaster for the neighbor when a beginner plays it.
I'm sure it takes kids a while to figure that out. There's nothing easy about it. There's no shortcut. Where, you know, when you're little, you kind of can, on a lot of instruments, you can take some shortcuts. This doesn't sound like you can take any.
Yeah, that is so true. And so arhu also has this sound box, and but special for it is it has a snake skin on top of the sound box, and that is why it sounds like a human voice. It's similar to
wow.
human voice.
Yeah,
yeah, and yeah. That's pretty much it. So you just
well, let me just say while I'm looking at it, that it's like this. It's a little, I don't know, maybe 5 inches in diameter octagonal box at the bottom that
yeah.
rests in Silas's lap, and then he's got a bow just like a violin, and then a pole coming out of that box that maybe is 3 feet long, and there's two pegs that the two strings are attached.
Oh, this
to.
Is a tuner.
Those are the
like,
those are the
this
tuners.
Is micro tuner and this is right. a big tuner.
So there's yeah, right on the strings there's a little things that micro tuner. Why don't you play a couple things, a
yeah.
couple notes for us?
Yeah. So this is just the string that this is the thank you. Helen's helping me pull.
Yes. Nice.
The
thank
earphone.
You.
And this is the sound.
That's
without
yes.
any finger on the string.
Okay.
And it is. It has very special techniques for vibrato and glissando, actually. So we can do some like comparison. I think music is easiest way to make it understandable.
Okay.
For example, I will play a really short excerpt from the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Okay.
So this is the exact starting note.
You played a lot of notes there without moving your fingers, really. I mean, amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
To watch
and
you do that.
Yeah, this is like arhu. So arhu allows you to do like really wide vibrato like this.
Right.
And this
the
is,
bouncing kind of. This is
yeah,
a vibrato, yeah.
And this is what like other string instruments would play it. It's like with normal kind of vibrato. It's like... And this is what's written on the score. It's actually very different. So,
so the player gets to choose how much vibrato they use.
Exactly, and this is like why it's really hard. So you have to choose the right, exact right you know, techniques to express what you want to express. And also, like, the glissando. So for Chinese music, glissando is so important. This is another
and, glissando is like on a piano. It's when you take your fingernail and you go from the bottom to the top.
Yeah, and on a violin, it's like... It's like
okay,
this.
Got it.
And so it's another excerpt from the that piece, the
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
So like... So the sound... So this is where the glissando comes from.
Yeah, yeah.
And like if we do it without the glissando, it will be completely different. So I also have the vibrato, but without the glissando, the music is totally changed.
It does. It's not as emotional, I don't think. It feels like with the glissando, you have a lot more emotion.
Yeah.
It feels like you do. And all that is with two strings. Were you playing that just on one string? What you just played, or there?
You have like an inner string and outer string. It's just like a fifth difference.
Got it.
So it's
wow.
D and A. Yeah,
that's great.
It takes so much practice.
Yes, it does.
I think of like horns, some horns where you just change your embouchure to hit a different note, as opposed to changing your. Fingers,
yeah.
You know, you everything has to be with your breath control and your embouchure, and you same thing here. You're doing the same thing for different notes, but you're just changing the way you're doing it. I guess that kind of that really made sense. Anyway, I wish you all could be here to see it because it's just fascinating. And how old is this instrument?
It's about like 1,000 years.
Okay,
more than 1,000 years. Actually, nobody knows when it's invented.
Right.
And it was introduced to China, like, in the Tang Dynasty, which is, like, around 1,000 years.
Okay. Well, when I think of the guzheng and this big instrument with all these strings, complicated, I would think, instrument to make, and you look at this erhu, and it's so simple.
Yeah, exactly.
It's awesome. So simple. Two strings, a pole, and a box with some snake skin over it, and listen to what you can do with it. That's absolutely astounding to me.
Thank you.
So let's talk about this piece, this excerpt that we have from you called Sunshine on Tax Corgan. I think that's how you say it?
Yes.
Why did you pick this song, and when we have this recording, what's the recording from? Is it from a recital?
Oh, yes, it is. It's actually a recital in Japan, a recital of mine in Japan.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that was when I was 16, so I played this piece. And so, unlike guzheng, it has like 2,500 years of being a solo instrument. So erhu only has like 100 years of history as a solo instrument.
Got it.
It's actually a developing instrument.
Wow.
However, it's like really popular because it's special sound and, you know, the timbre. Yeah. And it has adopted a lot of techniques from the violin.
Yeah.
Actually. And this piece is actually a violin piece that is adopted into erhu. But Tax Corgan is like in the west of China, and that is really near where erhu was invented. So erhu has very good the ability to express new music style there. And I think this piece is really representative of like a contemporary erhu piece that is like I want to demonstrate like the possibility of erhu.
Nice. So if it's only 100 years old as a solo instrument, there's not a lot of music out there.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of like different. I even play it like to do jazz.
Ah, neat.
Yeah, it's just have so many powers over music.
Yeah, and it sounds different. It sounds different from any other instrument. It can make some sounds that you just can't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
So let's take a listen to this excerpt. That Silas is playing on a recital of his when he was 16 called Sunshine on Tax Corgan. Silas.
Thank you so much.
Okay, seriously, that was played on two strings without any frets. So jumping from one note to another, he has to move his finger to a different spot, exactly the right spot.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's out of tune.
Yes.
Wow. That is so impressive. And you were 16 when you did that. That is amazing, Silas.
So
wow. So I think we talked about some of the, it was playing actually some of the challenges, and some of them are, like we just said, jumping from one note to another and getting all those notes in with just two strings.
Yeah.
Tell me some more. What was your favorite part about playing that song?
So this sound is really rhythmic. This sound is really rhythmic, and it's really fast, and you have this passion when you play it. So it takes a lot of practice, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, just when you see all those music came out from your hand, and it's just amazing. It feels so satisfying, and it really takes a lot of time to practice, because this piece has like this augmented second, so this kind of scale is really harder to get the right pitch.
Nice. I wonder if that augmented note is related to Jewish music scale, just because it sounds like that. We were talking about that in the break too, how it sounds like klezmer music a little bit.
It might be, actually.
I wonder if it is. That'd be interesting to find out.
Yes, it might be.
So muscle memory.
Because
you can't be looking at your hands. And I mean, your hands just have to go in the right place.
Yes, you cannot almost
without
look at
thinking.
It.
Right.
Yeah. And also, like, I practiced, that was the music on stage. So I have to practice like 6 hours a day to do that, like before the concert.
Wow.
It's like a month. It was really tough. But like when I actually finished practicing, it's pretty good.
It is really good, actually, to tell you the truth.
Thank you.
We have to move on. I would love to just keep talking and talking and talking about all this stuff, but I want to play this excerpt from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Before we do that, the piano player on that piece that we just heard. Do you remember?
Yes, definitely. That is a friend of mine in Central Conservatory.
Okay.
And
And his name?
I think it's Tian Lei.
Okay.
Yeah, he's so good.
Well, yeah, awesome. And there was more piano in the excerpts that I did not pick, or the parts of the song that I did not pick. Wow, what a great piano player. All right, so future plans quickly. Helen?
Yeah, I'm going to New York. I'm going to New York for grad school. So I'm pursuing a PhD in psychology at New York University.
Wow. And are you going to keep playing?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. And yeah, I look forward for Gao to go there and like just like drag me onto a show or something.
There you go,
yeah.
Gao. All right. How about you?
I'm going to do a master in computer science at UCLA.
Wow, so these guys are going to opposite coasts to bring their beautiful music there. And I, before the show, I was talking that I think they should both be playing coffee houses and microbreweries, because nobody's ever done that. Maybe they are on the coasts, but certainly not in the Midwest. And I think that would be a lot of fun. So, great. I'm very excited about your futures. I think you guys got so much going on for you. That's very, very exciting. This piece, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, that we're going to hear an excerpt of, And you're playing with a cellist and then somebody that's doing some percussion and a pianist, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gal is actually the one who do the percussion.
Oh, she's back there.
Yeah.
Awesome. Every once in a while, there's just a ting. And yeah.
That's her.
And it's so, just that little sound. It's yeah. really needed. It really adds, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
And when was this performed?
It was performed last term at the
end. Okay,
of the term.
So yeah. very recently.
Yes. Yeah, very recently, like earlier this year.
Yes.
And cello player?
Zhou Zhang.
And piano player?
Helen Jin Lee.
Awesome. Yeah. Really, everybody is so wonderful on this. And why did you guys choose this piece, or did Gao choose it for you?
I came across a video of someone playing it. And very often in like Chinese music ensembles, guzheng is not the main character. Usually, it's like how like violin is playing the melody in like orchestras, or who is playing the melodies in Chinese music ensembles. Guzheng is just usually like playing the rhythm
sure.
on the back.
Sure.
So it's very rare for me to see like almost a guzheng concerto. Guzheng is the main character, and like erhu is also one of the main characters, and the other instruments are kind of like backing them up. So I showed the video to Silas. I was like, this is amazing. Like, I really like the piece, and Silas really liked the melodies too. So we just decided to play it, and we watched the movie too. It was amazing. So this, this piece, the music is, was composed for the movie Crouching Tiger, Hidden
right.
Dragon.
Right.
And Yo-Yo Ma played it, on the cello for
wow.
that movie. So it was amazing. And that's why we decided to play the piece. And Jojo was the first person we reached out to when we decided to play this piece with the cello. I met Jojo and Silas on the same day at like orientation
bonfire.
Week.
Nice.
Like we had like a bonfire event on the Hill of Three Oaks of Carleton.
Nice.
And I was just like going there and like I wasn't expecting to make new friends or anything, but then I realized that everyone brought their instruments, like musical instruments,
but you couldn't.
To the bonfire.
Oh no.
I couldn't.
It's just too big. You have to get
yeah.
your two-wheeler out if
yeah,
you're going to do
that. I was so sad. But like then I suddenly heard a very familiar sound, and like I didn't expect to hear it because it's erhu, is a Chinese musical instrument. So I turned around, there was Silas and Jojo.
Ooh.
They were sitting together and they were playing Bach. I was
wow.
like, What's happening? like it's the first time I hear the erhu play a Western piece.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was amazing. And like Silas was just sitting there and telling Jojo, like, whatever you're practicing right now, you just give me the score and I can sight read, I can play with you. So I was like,
this is
amazing. I have to collaborate with them.
Yes.
So like 4 years later, here it is.
Finally have a chance.
Oh,
yeah.
That is such a great story. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
And this song is very emotional.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can hear that you guys have put a lot of emotion, not just your technical capabilities into it. So let's take a listen to an excerpt from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. And it is my guest today, Silas Zhao on the erhu. And I'm saying it really slowly so I say everything right. And Helen Hu on the Chinese zither called guzheng. Thank you. This is Pauline Jennings, and you're listening to Musician Talk, and I have two students here today from Carleton, Helen and Silas, and you just heard them play the gudang and the ahu in that beautiful, beautiful piece called Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. And like Helen, I think it was you said, this was played by Yo-Yo Ma in the movie version on cello, and so they found some adaptations for their instruments. And I just think that this is how they should have done it for the movie, too, because it's just hauntingly beautiful. I mean, just goosebumps. Anyway, we have to wrap it up. Thank you so much for coming on, and I want to tell everybody out there that these guys have a concert, the Chinese and Global Music Concert at Carleton on May 13th at Crackham Performance Hall at 3 o'clock. May 13th on 3 o'clock. Mark that on your calendars. And then Helen has... and Helen has a solo during that concert, and Silas has a duet feature.
Yes.
And then Helen has a solo recital at Crackham on May 28th at 7 o'clock.
Yeah. So that recital is actually a joint student solo recital.
Okay.
I'm playing half of it, and Shannon Liu, who is playing the Chinese flute or dizi, is playing the other half. And Silas is our honest guest.
Oh gosh, I have to come to that. I think I interviewed Shannon too.
Yeah.
So, what a heap of talent we have in this room. You guys are so, so, so good. And I just want to keep up with what you do with the rest of your life, because I mean, it's not only your music playing, it's also your studies here in computer science and math and psychology. So yeah, thank you so much for coming on Musician Talk, and say hi to Gao for me.
Sure. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.
You're welcome. Yeah, go ahead, Wendy. Many, many thanks to Helen and Sanjian for sharing their stories and music with us today. As always, thanks to Wendy Nordquist for her help with the show, and to you, dear listener, for listening to Musician Talk on the One, KYMN. Have an awesome day. Now that planting's